Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. You can email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. A ton of news this week. Ton of it. It's amazing. Some weeks it's just quiet. Yeah. And now it's really crazy out there. So you guys probably heard about the Google Docs attack. And I was on with Ray, and it's been all over the news. And basically this Google Docs phishing scheme is unique. A different approach, even though Google Docs has been hit before. This scheme tricked users into really kind of loading an app called Google Docs. That really shouldn't have existed, because Google, if they had done a better job of policing their ecosphere, would have not allowed this app to exist at all. But it did, and it tricked a ton of people into connecting to this the bad guys and offering up their stuff. And how many people? Well, 0.1%. It's such a small number, right?
How many? A million people.
A million people.
Out of a billion.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, you know, Google says, it's a million people between friends. But if you looked at that and said to yourself, well, I wonder if a million people had their bank accounts emptied, if there'd be some kind of outcry. And if you look at the security of a Google Cloud, go on their page and just look at all the great things they do to protect you. They've got redundant systems and servers and power and Halon and armed guards and encryption. And they're kind of acting like it's a big fortress, right? Like a bank. But then they let them in the front door. And then when the data's gone, they say, it was just a million people. What's the big deal?
Well, we didn't let them in. You did. You downloaded the app.
Well, exactly. You, user, are the fault. Yes, it's your fault, Bob. You downloaded the app. So you're right. So it comes back down to how we look at cloud and the concept of cloud. They talk about it and they wrap it in a banking type of, we've got this monster vault and this amazing protection system in place. Yet when we open the front door and let them right in, we're not responsible. My question to you is, what do you think the cost of hosting your data in the cloud would be if they had a fiduciary responsibility to compensate you for this potential data loss? I mean, obviously with a bank, they're FDIC insured. I'm sure it doesn't come cheap. You look at what the cloud would cost if they actually had to be responsible. Now, if you haven't thought about this, go take a look at your agreements with your stuff in the cloud. There's nothing in there. They absolve themselves. Pretty much they're like a chainsaw manufacturer. You know, you can go ahead and cut the branches all you want. You cut your arm off, it's not our fault. That's kind of how Google works and any of the clouds work. They absolve themselves of responsibility. Because you say, when you accept the usage of the system, because it's so darn cheap, why not? It's great technology. But if somehow a manuscript for your new movie gets out and somebody else writes it, they're not responsible. Well, you stuck it in the cloud. It's your fault. We told you not to put it there. Well, we told you,
Yeah, but if they lose it, that's your fault too.
Exactly. Believe it or not, there are whole services out there to back up the cloud. You may not have thought of this, but it's true. Actually, many of our business clients aren't even aware of it, especially the ones we pick up from other IT providers. They don't realize that their stuff has to be backed up from one cloud provider to the next, because that old cloud provider could go poof today. Then what would you do?
Well, before they go out of business, though, they might offer you the ability to transfer your material to a competitor for 20, 30 grand.
Yeah, in about 10 days, and they've got 10,000 people doing it at the same time. That doesn't work so well. So just some things to think about when you're thinking about the cloud and this recent hack. So if you were one of the million people that had their Google Docs hit, they do have a tool on the Security Center over there at Google that we'll put a link out there for you so you can go ahead and check to see if you were impacted by this hack on your Google Docs. And I hope you weren't one of the million people. But we'll put it out there for you over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Did you want to bring up anything, Bob?
Yeah, I've got an article here on CNET. It's kind of interesting. The families of the San Bernardino victims are suing Facebook, Google, and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So these Silicon Valley companies are accused of knowingly allowing terrorism and ISIS support to flourish on social media.
Right.
So they're trying to hold them accountable.
Right.
So they're taking them to court. It's a pretty interesting article. Mm-hmm. It goes on to talk about, you know, a similar suit where they sued Apple, or Apple was involved between the FBI up from the San Bernardino, where they wanted to get into that iPhone, and right. Apple wouldn't cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the government sued Apple, and, you know, then that ended up going nowhere because they found a private company that could hack into their phone.
They talked to the Russians.
Right. No, it was the Israeli company. But anyway, it is a good article. It's well worth reading.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be honest with you, mm-hmm. I hope they succeed.
Well, it's kind of funny you say that because I have another article here. Facebook, 3,000 editors. Is it still a tech platform? Basically, platform companies are not legally responsible for what they publish as long as they show they aren't directly editing their content. Now, to Bob's last story, those folks are suing because they don't edit their content. Now Facebook has 3,000 editors. They might actually have to now fall under the same rules as a traditional broadcasting style company or a news media company. They've been Google and these folks have been crushing newspapers and for a long time we have to follow these rules. Whereas, you know, if you are an editor, you're responsible for being truthful. Well, correct. Truthful is a hard word when it comes to the news media. But you have to be at least correct if you have editors. And Facebook is now offering these 3,000 editors to protect folks from obviously these horrific murder broadcasts that are occurring, these murders and rapes that are coming on that are being broadcast by Facebook. So it could be that they find themselves becoming under the guise of a traditional media company rather than now a platform company, which is not responsible. Just like I gave you the Google Cloud, they don't want to be responsible. They want to collect $200 and pass go, but they don't want to be responsible for anything. It's great work if you can get it. And I hope they are treated differently because it's getting a little crazy out there. You know, there needs to be some sort of editing done on these social media sites so that we don't see just the disgustingness that's out there. So we'll see what happens. I'll put a link up there for you guys to read that. That was from ZDNet.
Okay.
What else you got, Bob?
I've got another CNET article. And if you want a good laugh, this is a good one to read.
Mm-hmm.
Cell phone users tend to drink and smoke more than landline users.
Wow.
What high level university did this study? Is this a government study?
I don't think so. I think it was some university. Hold on a second and I'll tell you. It says, as the popularity and usage of mobile phone increases steadily, landlines are slowly going the days of yesterday.
Yeah.
A study released Friday from the U.S. Health Department.
Oh, my gosh. There it is.
Confirmed
our government dollars at work.
50.8% of adults in households with only wireless phones, and then with 39.4% owning a landline and wireless connection, and a mere 6.5% of homes using only a landline.
Yeah, so basically, statistically, that just means those folks are less likely to drink and smoke?
Well, yeah, with this overall takeaway, there's no surprise. The demographics of wireless-only and landline households are pretty interesting, as some self-reported health habits. Now, I would argue that if you look closely, the households with only a landline are probably very older people that just have held on to their old, you know, wired, so, you know, and never got into a cell phone from day one.
I can't
one.
Believe our government is doing this study because you could use that. I mean, I'm not a statistical genius here, but you could probably say they also, those folks with old landline phones, you know, have more hair, have less hair, have blonde hair. They're taller. It's statistically irrelevant.
I don't understand why you're surprised because they've paid, university after university to study why do children fall over on tricycles.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a study?
And each one of the studies, have, at the cost from our government of millions of dollars, have concluded it's because they lose their balance.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. So we'll put this up there. Our tax dollars at work protecting us from you and me.
Ourselves.
Yeah. One other one big one that I really should have brought up earlier, and this is something that kind of is important to me personally. Trump. Anti-H-1B tactics compel Infosys to recruit 10,000 employees in the U.S. So I've talked about this numerous times. H-1B visas, folks coming from India and what have you, are taking and replacing Americans, just simply displacing them. And they're being placed in through an H-1B visa process that literally kicks Americans out of their own jobs. I understand outsourcing. We're in an IT company where sometimes we do replace internal IT, but it's Americans replacing Americans competing locally. you have to at least play on the same field. These H-1B visas are bringing folks who are not Americans there. And again, you're welcome to immigrate here. Please come over. We'll hire you locally. But they're placing them to replace Americans. And now Infosys, a very large Indian company, is saying, oh, geez, looks like I got to hire Americans to replace other Americans. And that's the way it really should be. If you're going to compete locally here with your services, you're going to have to compete on the same playing field. So maybe you'll come in a little less expensive than the person that was sitting in the role at Disney or wherever they might be replaced, but at least it'll be another American. And maybe even the person being replaced could go work for that Infosys company and still have a job. Whereas the system that it was now is in place, you're just replacing us, you know, replacing $100,000 jobs with $65,000 Indians coming in, taking your position that are not American citizens. So it's being abused, and Trump's approach is hopefully going to level the playing field a bit and kind of get rid of this abuse that is occurring with H-1B visas. Just by the way, guys, IT is not the only one. CPAs, lawyers, you guys are all on the same target as H-1B visas. So you really should consider this concept of H-1B visas as something that's pretty much a threat to everyone, not just geeks, because your skills are transferable as an attorney, as an accountant as well, or as a financial person. They're all transferable. So keep it in mind. We're going to step out for a quick break, get back to your calls. We have three lines filled up, one line open for you, 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. We are back. So feel free to get online. One line open for you guys. And we'll do our best to take your computer comments, questions, and concerns. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Ralph in West Hartford, who's been on the line the longest. Hey, Ralph. What's up?
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have a laptop. I do training programs, and I have a laptop that it's maybe 3 or 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'll be in the middle of a training program. It's been on for about 5 hours. I use a cooling pad to keep it from overheating. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, after about 5 hours, the sound card stops playing any sound. So it starts back up again when I reboot. Okay. And if I'm in the middle of showing a video, for example, I've got to stop, tell people to go take a break, reboot the computer, then it's fine.
Just a reboot takes care of it?
Yep.
That's interesting.
It's happened 3 times.
If it's a heat issue, because it kind of sounds like you're angling that way, it wouldn't just reboot and start up again.
Yeah, it's not a heat issue because the bottom of the laptop is as cool as if it's never been on.
Yeah. So it could then be an issue with the card itself starting to show its age or failing. Okay. Have you updated the drivers on that laptop sound card?
Probably not.
So each manufacturer is going to have this tool. And they're going to let you know the updates that are available. Is this an HP?
It's an HP.
Yeah. So they have this health thing. How old is the laptop?
Probably 3 to 4 years.
All right. You probably have it. And if you go to their little health icon there, it's going to go ahead and do a scan to see. It probably has been warning you for a while about updates that need to occur. And the first thing you should do is update the sound drivers. It's either a known bug in their sound card, or the sound card is showing a physical failure of some kind.
Okay. Now, these are going to be HP updates, not Windows updates.
Yeah, HP driver updates.
Okay.
If you don't have that little tool, you have to go to the site. It's the HP site itself, and take a look at your particular model of laptop and see if there are new drivers you can download for that sound card. Other than that, it could just be a failing sound card that you're just either going to have to deal with on the reboot or think about replacement.
Okay. Now, is that a difficult thing to replace for somebody who knows what they're doing?
You can't really replace it on an onboard laptop like that. It is pretty much, when I say replacement, I mean new laptop.
Okay.
So,
all right.
All right, Ralph.
Thank you so much.
You got it, sir.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's move on to Steve in Winstead with, I'm not sure, a question that we can answer. What's going on, Steve?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I absolutely love your show. I can't get enough of it. And while I don't own a computer, it's always cool listening to your commentary on Tech Talk and helping people with troubleshooting their problems.
Thank you.
Last week, you brought up something that put my brain into what Ned Flanders would call real tizzy.
Uh-oh. What would we do?
The various fictitious ideas of what could possibly wipe out mankind, like aliens.
Right. Well, Ridley Scott told us that, you know, aliens could wipe us out in, what was it, 3 seconds or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Sorry, Steve.
I put a lot of thought into it. And there's probably hundreds, if not thousands, of those types of scenarios that could do that.
Right.
But due to time constraints, I'd like to just quickly run through four.
Okay. It was our fault for bringing the topic up, so go ahead.
Keep in mind, these are just fictitious.
Of course. They could never happen.
Right.
What do you got?
All right. Let's say no one knew the magic words to stop Gort from the day the Earth stood still.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Another one. Thanks to global warming or climate change, the blob would probably do it.
That's true. Maybe one slimy mess.
I haven't seen the film, but I think the Transformers would be a problem.
Yeah. You haven't seen any Transformer films?
Not yet. I'm a little nervous about those things because it's just a little scary. They look really creepy.
They make a mess of things when they walk around. Go ahead.
I'm sure they do. And lastly, I want to go back to the Twilight Zone with the monsters are due on Maple Street.
I don't know if I remember that one. Do you remember that one, Bob?
Not off the top of my head.
Is it the old classic Twilight?
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, it's where they take over machines, and they make other people think that they have the ability to control them.
Ah.
And everybody ends up fighting in the end, and it's a total breakdown of society.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much every dystopian movie that's out there. So,
there's
Steve,
others like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, yeah.
The Death Ray from Star Wars.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's from Fantastic Four.
You're right. You're right, Steve.
The Doomsday Machine from Star Trek. That would be a
Well, Ridley Scott wanted to make sure we were all
Well, you
got to
realize the Twilight Zone was so far ahead of its time because it covered global warming, global cooling, and total world devastation all back in the
60s. Oh, that's true. Man.
Way before it was popular.
That's true. All right, Steve. Thanks for chiming in and giving us some other things to think about.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I guess it was our fault to bring up that topic, but you know, Ridley Scott, the great sage that he is, was warning us all. Let's go on to Guy in West Hartford next. Hey, Guy.
Hi, Erica, Bob.
What's up?
Hey, I operate like a 10-person office in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And you know, we buy internet services through one of those big providers.
Yeah.
And we're not doing anything special. We communicate with our customers and vendors on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But we're using the internet provider's email agent to receive mail.
Yeah.
And it's a shared, typically they're shared IP addresses with other people that are either down the street or around the corner or whatever.
Not IP addresses. You should have your own IP address.
Well, I have my own IP address, but when we send mail, it goes out through one of the common mail transport agents that the internet provider is using.
Okay, yeah,
so
that's correct.
What's happened lately is that getting some bounce back from the people I'm sending to with an undeliverable message saying that the provider's
address,
you know, sender best reputation score is poor.
Yep. It's called being blacklisted.
Being blacklisted or,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And it could be from something that someone else had sent out or forwarded.
Not
so
really.
So now, basically, my ability to communicate is being affected by the people that my provider has decided to to do business with.
Kind of. So if you can you hang on? Because I do want to answer this question, but we're coming against a hard break. Can you answer, can you hang on, Guy?
Absolutely.
Good. We'll take your we'll answer your question after the news and explain what a blacklist is and how your IP address can be blacklisted. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out with computer problems, comments, questions, and concern. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. A couple lines open for you on this gloomy Saturday morning, as Sam was talking about. Let's get back to your calls. Guy in West Hartford is on the line. So, Guy, are you still there?
Still here.
So, what we are pretty sure you've got going on there, again, the issue is that your IP address, the one you're connected to the internet, is saying that it's not trusted anymore, right? And your email is being rejected from folks you're sending email to because your IP address, the one given to you by your internet provider like Comcast or what have you, has been deemed a spammer of some kind.
That's not exactly right.
No.
My IP address is actually fine, and I've even tested it, and I've tested my emails with Spam Assassin, Spam Check. It's not my address or the content. It's that... it's almost like what they're doing is saying that, let's say Bob sends a Mother's Day card out to his aunt.
Yeah.
They're actually saying, well, even Bob, even though your card's okay, we know the mail person that sent it last week sent something through that was junk mail. So we're
okay.
not going to let you, we're not going to accept anything from you because you're using the same mail person.
Okay, I gotcha. So it's your mail host that's been deemed inappropriate.
Exactly.
Oh.
The mail host has been blacklisted. And if you look at places like, it's called server-based reputation score.
Yeah.
There's a couple of groups that have senderscore.org.
Yep, I got you now, Guy.
Abuseibtp.com.
Yep.
There's a few agents that do that.
Okay, so now I got you. We weren't sure if your IP address you guys were sending maybe had a mailworm inside of your business, and you were unbeknownst to you, anything coming out of your IP address was tagged. It's not that. It's your whoever's hosting your mail, mm-hmm. your cloud provider has
yep.
been deemed a bad deliverer. So what do? Well, you only have one option. Scream till they get it right.
That's what I'm doing.
Which is like spitting in the wind. That's
exactly.
the cloud for you. They really don't care, Guy, if you stay or go.
No.
Okay? And now, what do you got to do? You got to do all the heavy lifting of relocating your mailboxes to some other provider.
Right.
And there's many other cloud providers out there, but believe it or not, this is what our company does all the time for people because you've got one cloud provider that's got a problem. You got to move it to the next, and you move it to the next, and you move it to the next. And then eventually, you know what happens? The business says, geez, isn't there a better way? And I say, yeah, bring your mail server in-house and an exchange server, and then you're the mail provider. And all of a sudden, the problems go away, because guess who you can yell at when you have a problem? Your local guys and yourself.
Got it.
And all of a sudden, you become a cranky Yankee, self-sufficient person who can deal with his mail problems rather than spitting in the wind, dealing with the cloud provider, who really doesn't care if Guy in West Hartford can send his mail or not.
So then the problems only last a couple of hours versus a couple of days or weeks.
Yeah. So I can't tell you how many folks that we've picked up for clients that we have converted back to internal exchange. A, save them tons of money because now you're small. Sometimes the economy of scale may or may not make sense to do it on a server. But in many instances, we picked up accounts that were paying 10, 15, 20 bucks a mailbox per month to a third party that if you just did the math over a six-year life of a server and the amount of users you're paying for, it'll pay for itself in two years. It's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you start looking at these third-party mail providers, Postmar, Google, G Suite, Amazon SES,
right.
they're charging $5, $10 per user per month.
Forever.
And even with those, I see complaints.
Oh, of course. So it's called Exchange. Microsoft Exchange has been around for a long time. Now, even the boys at Microsoft almost hate their own product because they want to get in the rental business too. A lot of money in renting stuff to you, obviously. A lot less in ownership, much more in rental. But Exchange, when you run it locally in your business, can be controlled by you, and you then can deal with issues that do occur and deal with companies like us locally who can correct them. Because believe it or not, companies like you still deal with companies like us locally and have us spit in the wind at the cloud provider until we move the services somewhere else. So you're kind of stuck either deciding to move it, Guy, or deciding to bring it in-house. The other concept here is, what else can you do with a server internally for your business? You know, maybe you could spin up a customer relationship management aspect of a server. You could spin up a database server. You could spin up a quoting or estimating type server. It all depends on the type of business you are. And now you take, with virtualization, one piece of hardware doing five different things, and you've really maximized the return on your investment for bringing that mail in-house and telling those other guys to pound sand.
Sounds like a plan.
It's a plan. Give us a call on Monday, Guy.
Thanks so much.
All right, sir.
Take care.
Bye-bye. It is a problem when you're dealing with the cloud.
I think AT&T figured that paradigm out years ago, generations ago.
Yeah, they rent your phone.
When they were renting people phones. That, I forget the name of that lady who paid tens of thousands of dollars to rent her phone.
Well, they're doing it. They're still doing it now with Comcast and the cable companies. They're going to business and saying, you know what? Don't buy a phone system. Just rent the phones from us forever. It's only $6-$8 a seat for this, $2 or $3 a seat for that. And before you know it, you've got a good $10 or $12 a seat for a phone. Your the phone on your company desk is now costing you $12, maybe $15 a month forever. What's the point of that, guys?
Well, that's only $120 to $150 bucks a month.
Yeah, it's crazy, depending on how many seats you've got. We've shown mathematically that, you know, installing a system can be done five times versus renting it forever from the cable companies over a decade. Just looking at a decade of time. A phone system should last you at least 15 years. So if you want to pay five times more over 10 years for a phone system, go ahead. Well, more power to you, but I'd recommend you do the math. Just multiply your payment by 100.
What do you think? These companies are in business to make a profit?
Good for them. Hey, if they can convince people to do it. Let's go to Al in Stores. Hey, Al, what's up?
Hey, good morning. I'm running it on speakerphone while driving, so I hope it's coming through okay.
You sound okay, sure.
Terrific. I have a Windows 10 Asus netbook.
Yep.
Solid state memory, so it's kind of limited. I did upgrade to the Windows 10 and took Windows Defender, but after listening to your program, and I have over the years, great show.
Thank you.
I decided to put the malware bytes in a couple of weeks ago.
All right.
And they start you out free.
Yeah.
I elected not to, you know, to buy the program.
Right.
But the one thing that I've noticed, Eric, and I don't know if it's how I installed it or if there's a contention between the Windows 10 and the malware bytes, but you know how whenever the device is busy, you see that little circle dancing around?
Mm-hmm.
It's always doing that, and it seems like things have slowed down a lot. So is that the malware bytes checking for problems? Or the way that I installed it, or the fact that I'm running Windows 10 Defender and that together.
Defender probably has been turned off with Malwarebytes loaded. You don't want both running. You only want one antivirus running. So I doubt it's that. And Malwarebytes we recommend as a remediation tool, not generally a monitor. So we would contend for home use, this is, that Windows Defender is okay as long as you're using a filter like OpenDNS that we recommend. So if you use the free Defender and the free OpenDNS, those are two good aspects of security that will get you fine. And if for some crazy reason you still get infected, then you would buy or borrow or use a demo of Malwarebytes to remediate the problem and then remove it again. That's what I would do. All that is all free for you, you know?
So now OpenDNS, I think I've heard you mention it from time to time, but I'm not too familiar with how that would work with the Malwarebytes.
It's basically a safer pathway on the internet. It's not doing anything other than allowing you to surf on the internet in a more safe way. So you're choosing a different wire, let's say, a different highway. Instead of Al Gore's wide open pothole filled piece of junk, you're going over to a nicely paved, clean, safe internet, rather than the wild, wild west of the pothole filled mess. Does that help?
Okay, where's the best place to get that?
You can go to our website at computertalkwithtab.com and we have go to the live links area. And you can look at archive links. OpenDNS is linked many, many, many times. And just read it. It's a free service that you can implement and protect all your computers in your home.
Thank you very much. Enjoy the program. I think I said that before, but it really is a good show. Thank you, Al.
All right, so he's going to go surf more safely. Really quick before we go to a break here, I have to bring this up. I'm part of the Bristol Brass and Wind Ensemble in Bristol, your hometown, Bob.
Yeah, it's just down the street from my house.
Yep. And we have a performance this Sunday. It's a free concert. 4 o'clock at Chippens Hill Middle School. And if you're in the area and a fan of things like Rachmaninoff, we've got Jimmy Santucci, who's a Bristol veteran who plays the piano amazingly. And we're playing the Rachmaninoff Concerto, third movement. We've got some My Fair Lady, Dry Your Tears Africa. So it's a great concert. It's free. It's a community band. And if you've ever considered joining one, it's good for your brain. It's something you can do to step away from the real world and pick up an instrument if you played one in college or high school. These types of bands, which are all over Connecticut, by the way. I had no idea until I got involved. They're everywhere. Simsbury, Plainville, South Windsor, Bristol, of course, West Hartford. Some of them you have to try out for, but many of them are just looking for folks to come and join. And it's a great experience. Come and check out Bristol Brass and Wind, 4 o'clock on Sunday at Chippens Hill, to see what is produced by these great community bands. And maybe it's something you want to do as well yourself. We're going to step out for a quick break. Four lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back.
Follow me into the desert.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk. Feel free to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. A couple lines wide open. Got a couple news articles here for you that I wanted to bring up really quickly. Uber. These guys, I don't know, man. Uber faces criminal investigation over Grayball spying program. This is like, I don't know. It's really creepy, smart, all sorts of weird things that, let me read this to you. Grayball was used to tag, track, and avoid regulators. So they're in hot water now, where the U.S. Department of Justice has launched a criminal investigation into Uber concerning the Grayball program. Basically, it allowed them to avoid local authorities in cities where their service was deemed unacceptable. You can't have them because of other political reasons that you may or may not agree with. The software was created in 2014, and it was utilized in areas including Boston, Las Vegas, Oregon, and Paris to tag customers believed to be law enforcement or government representatives. So, you know, the Uber drivers that were out there illegally where they shouldn't have been because those cities said you can't run Uber cars within these cities would then look for folks they thought were government agents and tag them, kind of like you would tag a trooper on the highway with Waze.
Well, you have an Uber account. So then when you use it, if it turns out that you're one of those people, they just tag your account.
Exactly.
So
the account would be marked with a small slice of code reading Grayball. And when that user, this government regulator, requested a ride, Uber would serve up a whole fake version of the app, complete with ghost cars, to prevent them from catching a ride and potentially gathering evidence for use to be used against the company. This company is having some issues as far as its ability to kind of operate above board. But we'll see what happens with this.
Well, they had a CEO that they hired that only lasted 6 months because he thought that there were some ethical problems with the company.
Yeah, they're very smart. I mean, they're using technology, but they're using technology to avoid being regulated. Well, and again, whether or not those towns are obviously the folks that are in the cabbie union there are not happy that Uber's there. Right, so the political folks are saying, "Well, you can't operate your company here because we want to protect this concept that's been here for forever." And when you guys come in and disrupt, you know, our constituents get upset.
They want to really go around the laws, even though they're local laws, and they may not agree with them, right, but they're still the law.
Oh yeah, I agree. Yeah, so and they're trying to use their technology to avoid it.
And I believe it was Uber, and correct me if I'm wrong, that decided they were going to do their their driverless cars out in California.
Even though they said they couldn't.
Even though they said they couldn't.
Yes, there's another one.
So California decided to revoke all their registrations.
That's right. Yeah. So again, this company is on the edge of being legal as far as what they do. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with them.
Well, I would contend
Lyft is watching every single thing Uber does and hoping they go down.
I would contend that if your attitude is that, well, I don't agree with the law and I'm not going to obey it, eventually that's going to come back to bite you.
Well, there's so many examples of that happening with their own politicians. I mean, we won't even go there, but that statement's pretty much...
Well, that sounds like fake news to me.
It does. Let's go on to Danny in Glastonbury. Hey, Danny, our resident groupie, what's up?
Hey, guys. You know, what else Uber did was the guy that's the head of their driverless car division,
yeah,
used to work for Alphabet,
uh-huh,
and he stole all their proprietary research and software and coding and stuff.
From Alphabet?
That's alleged.
From Alphabet, and then went to Uber, and now there's a federal injunction against him and stuff.
Yikes.
But that's all alleged, Danny.
Yes, alleged. like I allegedly weigh 180 pounds.
Yeah, so Danny, that's espionage internally there. That's, what is that called?
Industrial
espionage. Yeah.
Well, so, you know, Uber acts like big oil or big pharma. You know, he's the first tech guy,
right,
that acts like the sinister old businesses.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I mean, part of me wants to see him kind of win in some instances.
Yeah, I love him in a way, but not really.
Yeah, his approach is kind of harsh.
Hey, I'm kind of decommissioning the love of my life, my old Acer tablet.
Finally.
And it's got the 32-bit little mini SD, micro SD card.
Yeah.
I can just take that out, go to settings, and shut it off, and then take it out and put that in my new tablet, right?
If your new tablet supports that, which I think it does.
Yeah, my Samsung can take.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, okay. Hopefully it read it. It should read it.
Okay, because it doesn't have anything on it, because the memory never got to that.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of filled up, you know, the old tablet, so
right.
That's...
Okay, yeah.
That, so there's no problem there with that.
The easy move.
Okay. Hey, and that Twilight Zone thing,
mm-hmm,
it was like a regular little town neighborhood, and they hear a thing goes... flies over, you know, and everybody looks up, but they didn't see anything.
Yeah.
Middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, guy cutting his grass, the lawnmower stops. Guy driving down the street, his car stops.
Uh-huh.
Everybody, the telephones stop. The electricity stops. Everything.
Right.
So they go around, hours pass, and as it starts to get dark, all of a sudden some guy's porch light comes on. Hey, he's got electricity.
Yep.
Then somebody's other cars, the headlights start blinking. Oh, he's hooked up with them too. So what they did was, there were two aliens up on the hill observing this neighborhood.
Yeah.
And one by one, just by doing little things like making things go off and on and stuff, they made everybody suspicious of the other person.
Ah.
So they wound up killing each other and having riots and shooting each other and stuff.
Wow.
And then in the end, the one guy looks at the other alien, he says, "See, I mean, you know, we don't even have to do anything. They'll just do it themselves."
Yeah, that's right. Ridley Scott was correct then.
Yeah.
All right, Danny.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, bye. I have not seen that episode. I remember the cookbook episode where they're sending him off on a vacation to the alien world. And
Serve humans.
Yeah, exactly. How to serve humans. And it was a cookbook. I love that one. That was a great one. Before we go to the top of the hour break here, feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Tesla. This is a Washington Post article. Tesla is deliberately telling people that new Model 3 is worse than the Model S. Why? Because people are mistakenly thinking the Model 3 will actually outperform the older models. It does make sense, right? You've got the iPhone 1, or let's say the iPhone, then the iPhone 2, which was a little thinner, had a better camera. Then the iPhone 3, which was a little thinner, had a better camera. Then the iPhone 4, which was a little thinner, had a better camera. Then the iPhone 5, a little thinner, the better camera. We've been conditioned to thinking those numbers mean different improvements. And in the case of the Model 3, it's kind of the econo mode. It is not as capable or as powerful as
S. Really only makes that theory only makes sense if you don't do your research.
There's that. If you're going to spend $35,000 on a car, you better be doing research. But Elon Musk goes, "I thought we were being clever by calling it the Model 3, but actually the joke's on me because there's this confusion." And so beware if you think the Model 3 is bigger and better and badder than the S, It's not. We're going to be out for a quick break here at the top of the hour. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.